Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, as he does every single Tuesday at this time, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chip, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Now, the first thing I want to ask you is, I don't know the answer. I always like to ask questions I don't know the answer to. Are your deputies involved, or have they had to be involved in any extra policing related to the fuel shortage, traffic congestion, telling people where to drive, or anything like that? Has that been an issue for the last day or today?
No, it has not yet been an issue. We're obviously aware of some of the crowds around some of the gas stations, but I think people have been pretty well behaved for the most part. I've been seeing what you've been seeing, what others have been seeing. But right now, we have not been asked to assist in any way.
Well, good. And it was a question that had occurred to me as well, is how abundant is your fuel supply for your officers who are obviously on the road a lot?
Yeah, that's a good question. We talked about that yesterday, and we're doing pretty good. I mean, obviously, we're monitoring it much like we would during a hurricane to know that we have enough fuel to make sure that we can provide our service to the county. But the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, we use a lot of gas every day, but I inquired about that yesterday. We're good for at least 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, good news, obviously, and we certainly hope that everything will be back to normal long before that. So very good. Had a bunch of incidents in the last few days. I'm not sure where you want to start, but I guess we had one at Fairfield. There was a drive-by shooting overnight, we think.
Yeah, we had two things yesterday, two shooting events yesterday. One was a drive-by at Fairfield where no one was reported to be injured, and then we had a second one at Broadmoor Lane, in which someone was shot. When we get there, we noticed blood and some spent shell casings on the roadway. Later on, a victim shows up at the hospital. That's the one where one of the vehicles that were described in the incident ends up crashing at C Street and Lee Streets. The City of Pensacola Police Department is handling that accident, and we're obviously working with them.
All right, very good. And then we had another, like a different shooting involved on Fairfield a day or two before that, of a guy shot in the abdomen. Is that right?
Yeah, we got a report of an individual that got shot in the stomach. It's not life-threatening injuries. But we're still working that investigation. So, yeah, we've had two over the last 3 days on Fairfield and then the one on Broadmoor.
All right. And then, of course, the most horrible one, which, you know, you did a press conference on this Friday. We played some of your comments on Monday. It's a terrible loss, but we had this unintentional shooting that took place with the two-year-old, right?
Yeah, we had this guy that was a convicted felon, wasn't supposed to have a gun, was showing off the gun to his girlfriend, and when she asked him to put the gun away, as he's trying to holster it, evidently a round went off and unfortunately struck and killed the two-year-old. Again, wasn't supposed to have a gun, certainly wasn't handling it properly, and his extreme negligence cost the life of a two-year-old.
And he ran away, and you know, you talked about that in your press conference, that you know, it's one thing to have an accident. It's another thing to flee the situation and not even help out the child that's been injured. But there's no additional charges from that, right? That didn't escalate the charges in any way beyond what they would originally be for felony possession or negligent homicide, right?
It didn't. The fact that he ran is just indicative of his character, I guess.
Yeah.
The charges were the negligent manslaughter.
All right. Well, that's a terrible story. You guys released a video last week that was pretty, I mean, it's hard to watch because it reinforces how dangerous domestic situations can be of a guy breaking into a home who was then shot by the woman that he was coming after, right?
Yeah, we normally don't talk about domestic violence type situations, but in this case, we get a call that an individual had been shot inside a home. When we get there, we determine that a 54-year-old male had broken into the front door, kicked in the front door, and obviously we saw the video, and that we released the video. So everyone has seen the video of just the anger and the demeanor of this 54-year-old and trying and kicking and kicking, trying to get into the home. When he gets into the home, he arms himself with a knife from the kitchen. He goes room to room looking for the mother of his child, and ends up getting shot whenever he gets to the rear bedroom. A clear case of self-defense. Again, we talk about this all the time, and as long as your actions are reasonable, and I think that, well, the reason we put the video out is so people will understand just how reasonable these actions were. And imagine yourself in that home when someone's trying, or one of your loved ones in a home like that, and someone's trying so desperately to get in. Clearly there was ill intent on his part, and clearly it was self-defense.
And to me, you know, when I see this, aside from it being terrifying, I watched it having known the outcome, right? That the assailant was killed and that the victim survives. And to me, what it reminded me of is, you know, what we're always saying about, you know, some people who think that guns are bad. And my way of thinking is, no, you know, a gun saved a life in this case. I mean, a woman has less physical power than a maniacal man wielding a knife who's coming after her to kill her. You know, the outcome that would have happened if she hadn't had a gun is hard. You know, it's horrifying to imagine what could have happened to her or anybody else in that home. But she was able to defend herself because she had a weapon and she was capable of using it effectively, right?
Well, it's, you know, when you're watching the video, if you didn't know the outcome, you would find yourself, you know, rooting for the potential victim and hoping that they had something to defend themselves. You know, it's like watching a television show when you're, you know, and you put yourself in that situation and you're just hopeful that they'll survive it. And then you're certainly hopeful that they have something, as you mentioned, a firearm in this case, to defend themselves, because clearly he was there to hurt somebody.
Absolutely. Sheriff, one of the things I had wanted to ask you about is you've developed a new program for block-by-block policing with neighborhood specialists. I know Ronnie Rivera and now Councilman Larian Wiggins are also involved in this. And there's a lot of interesting stuff connected with this, including what you call crime prevention through environmental design. I think of this as the old broken window concept in New York, which is putting streetlights in, fixing potholes, creating an environment that people expect less crime to happen in, and less crime will happen. Is that kind of the, like, tell us a little bit about this, because it's interesting.
Well, I think it's just part of what we're doing. It got some publicity because we started discussing it, and we had our neighborhood specialists and members of our community services out there in our neighborhoods talking to people, and people wondering what we were doing. Well, we're developing a template so that we can go to each neighborhood and have that same evaluation, that same assessment tool, to help them in working with us, and really to help themselves as well, so that we can make our engagement like we've never seen before. But I think that it's also important for people to understand we're not just doing that. We're also working on the enforcement side. We talked about a couple of shootings that just took place and some things that we're doing. I also want to make mention that on the enforcement side, I've moved all of my neighborhood or my high intensity patrol unit to gun crimes. So they're going to concentrate solely on the gun crimes so that we can start to really get a handle on some of the shootings that are taking place. We've had some success so far. We're working with the ATF, working with the Pensacola Police Department. So our partnerships are enhanced, and now our concentration will be on the gun crimes specifically. But to your point, the block by block is again, just half of the equation. And we think that when we use this multi-pronged approach, it'll make our neighborhood safer.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing is tomorrow we are having the annual memorial to the fallen officers, but it's going to be a little bit different this year because of COVID, right?
Yeah, you know, we made the decision a couple of months ago when the COVID situation was still unclear. But our memorial takes place indoors with what has been historically a large crowd indoors, families, friends, and people that want to come. And then we move it outdoors for the laying of the rose on the memorial. Because we had a big indoor event, we felt like it was best probably if we do this virtually. Now, we will still have our honor guard laying the rose for each fallen deputy and two fallen canines on the memorial. And so that's why we chose to make it more of a virtual event. Now, the family members of the deputies that lost their lives are invited. What we'll do is we'll have a rose laying event every 30 minutes to represent each of the deputies that are fallen. and then we will have a special one because we're naming one of our canines, our newest canine, after one of our fallen deputies. That's Doug Heist. So Canine Heist will actually get to meet the family of Doug Heist tomorrow at about 1 o'clock.
Oh, what a wonderful way to carry on his name. And, yeah, that ceremony every year is such a moving one. If people, I know you can't go this year, but when we're back to normal in the future, if you have a chance to go and spend some time and think about the sacrifices made on behalf of our citizens by these sheriff's deputies over the years and sheriff. Very good. Chip Simmons, he is the Escambia County Sheriff. Chip, thanks so much for the time, certainly, and thanks so much for what you do. We appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.